and welcome. It's hour number two of our radio program, and this hour dedicated to the NFL, a key matchup for bragging rights in the AFC, the Baltimore Ravens, all these nail-biting wins taken on the Chargers. We'll have some impressive wins on their resume. It was Lamar Jackson versus Justin Herbert, and Lamar getting the best of the Charger quarterback. Does this game, though, say more about the Ravens, or does it say more about the losing team, the Chargers? We will discuss right now in hour number two. Flapping the wings, flapping the wings. Welcome in the beginning of another hour of the Ben Maller Show. We are together in the air everywhere as we teleport via our audio passport, coast to coast, border to border, and beyond on the vast and mighty powerful microphones of FSR emanating live from behind the wheel, driving in the fast lane. The Fox Sports Radio studios at a secret location deep in the North Woods. And so our lead this hour coming from the National Football League, the card on Sunday, an AFC matchup, a battleground in Baltimore. A matchup, a couple of middleweight contenders. They say they're actually heavyweight contenders. The Ravens playing host to the Chargers, teams that fancy themselves legitimate threats to reach the Super Bowl. And a couple of the young and up-and-coming quarterbacks in the NFL, Lamar Jackson would say he's already arrived. He's won an MVP award. Lamar Jackson versus Justin Herbert. That's the matchup. Made for television. Did you watch? Maybe not. Maybe you didn't watch. And if you didn't watch, you didn't miss anything. A stable of running backs, many of them that used to be good but haven't been good in a while. The running back rejects ran for 187 yards in unison with Lamar Jackson and three touchdowns. Baltimore in cruise control, a 34-6 beatdown of the Bolts in Baltimore. So let us discuss the question. Does this game, a route or route, depending on where you're from, does this game say more about the Ravens' dominance or the Chargers' incompetence? And so I am looking the direction of the Bolts on this one. Now, my observations, you've got neutron bomb, alibi, and mouthwash. And we will lock all of these things together in this Maller monologue, which will dazzle you, blow you away. Unless it doesn't. All right, so number one. The better story is in the losing locker room. The Chargers feeling good about themselves heading into this game. They had wins at Kansas City at home against Cleveland, game I was at. And this game, though, against the Ravens was what? It was a measuring stick game, a placement test, battle of first place teams. The Chargers are going to have to replay that game. They're going to have to retake the exam here. They did not pass the test as they ended up running into a neutron bomb in Baltimore. Lamar Jackson, who wasn't even good, he has been much better this year. This was not a number one Lamar Jackson, and yet the Ravens still win in a laugh. Lamar only had 167 yards passing, average. Barely over 6 yards per pass attempt. Was sacked three times, had a couple of interceptions. That's not good. He had 51 yards on the ground, which is also by Lamar Jackson standards. He's like, well, that is containing Lamar Jackson. And with those kind of numbers, if I said before the game, those will be the stats for Lamar Jackson, you would say, okay, how many points did the Chargers win by? You would blindly take that. Right? You would assume, at the very least, that the Chargers would have an opportunity to win that game. You would assume wrong. Baltimore was up 17-0 before the Chargers got their lone score of the game, and as the Chargers have been known to do, they missed the extra point. So L.A. Was shut out in the second half. The Ravens, who going into this game, you're like, okay, what's going to happen? You think it'd be a close game? A lot of people were all jonesed up about the Chargers, but the Ravens taking advantage of the NFL's worst run defense. It was a running fiesta for Baltimore, 187 yards on the ground. That bears repeating. And it was, as we said, all rejects. It was all people nobody else wanted in the NFL. Le'Veon Bell. Le'Veon Bell, who's bounced around, sucked with the Jets, did nothing of note with Kansas City, and he's hanging out there. Devontae Freeman, he's bounced around the NFL. Latavius Murray, another. These are vagabond running backs, and collectively, and granted, it was mostly Devontae Freeman and Latavius Murray, but collectively, they carried the weight, and all three of them got in the end zone. I mean, that, just to prove that the Charger defense is as bad as their numbers indicate they are, when these guys, the guys that were on the outside looking in when the season began, right, and a week before the season, they didn't have jobs, and now you're like, whoa, wait a minute. Right, secondly, so the Chargers, that's the story, the losing locker room. They malfunctioned on both sides of the ball. Not only did they not stop the run, which they haven't done all year, Justin Herbert, who has been the toast of the NFL, the darling. Oh, he's so good. Oh, my. Well, not in this game. Talking heads, you watch these pregame shows, when they bring up the Chargers, they are slobber, slobber, slobber. It's the Manny and the Petty. Manny and the Petty for Justin Herbert. And here he was going against the, you know where the Ravens pass defense ranked coming into this game? 28th in the NFL. They're only 32 teams. The Ravens were 28th at stopping the pass. So you would assume the position going in, based on past results, that the Chargers would be able to matriculate the ball down the field against the Ravens' pass defense. Even if they couldn't stop the Ravens on the ground, which they clearly couldn't, they'd still be able to move the ball. Well, the results are in, and Justin Herbert had just 195 passing yards, 81 yards passing in the second half. He couldn't even fatten the stat sheet up in the second half when typically in a blowout, and the game was lopsided at halftime, you get some garbage time numbers, and you're the stat bandit in the second half. He couldn't even be the stat bandit. He averaged a measly 5 yards per pass attempt. That's horrific. I mean, these are not the numbers that you would expect of a budding star in the NFL, especially considering Baltimore's pass defense and how bad it is. Now, as always, the quarterback defenders league, no matter who the quarterback is, there's always the toadies in the media that have an alibi. Now, when the quarterback plays well, it's all the quarterback. When the quarterback doesn't play well, it's point fingers over here, over there, in the back, everywhere, right? They always have an alibi. Got to have a scapegoat. And the Chargers and really the NFL media that have pumped up Justin Herbert, blaming the receivers, right? Bad, you know, bad hands by the receivers, a lot of drop passes there. I've also heard the early start time that the Chargers going from the West Coast, the Pacific time zone, to the East Coast, the early 10 a.m. body clock game, that messed up the mojo of the Chargers. Of course, this is only something that is brought up when a team loses. For example, the Rams traveled from the West Coast to the East Coast. Granted, they played a bad Giants team and completely punched them in the gut, the Rams did. So I guess the time zone thing didn't work as a negative in that case. But Baltimore, all right, this is the same Raven team that needed a rabbit out of the hat to beat the Lions. Right? They needed that 60-plus yard, 66-yard field goal to win that game in Detroit. Ravens had won the first four games they had won this year by an average of barely 6 points per game. And yet, going to the fourth quarter of this game against the Chargers, the Ravens had a 4-touchdown lead. This is completely out of left field. All right, final point. Now, for Lamar Jackson in Baltimore, this game, what I call it is a mouthwash special. Why do I call it a mouthwash special? I'm glad you asked. Because this helps them further get that rotten taste out of their mouth from way back at the beginning of the season when they went out against then John Gruden, persona non grata anymore, but John Gruden of the Raiders. And it was Vegas, baby, that got the win. But ever since then, Baltimore, with some help by the compliant Ravens running back fumbling the ball away there, the Chiefs running back against the Ravens, Baltimore now, they have at this moment the best record in the American Football Conference. They're 5-1, pending the outcome of Tennessee And here we go, Buffalo, in the Monday night game. And this is the largest win. I read this earlier. Largest win for the Ravens against an opponent with an 800 or better winning percentage. Although it's, you know, it's still relatively early in the season. But the Ravens enjoying the heck out of this. And it's upward and onward now for Lamar Jackson. A big AFC divisional matchup for the Ravens in the AFC North against the Bengals. Are you kidding me? Well, that's the next game for Baltimore next week in Maryland. Then they have the bye after that. So the Ravens have one more game, then they get the bye week, and they still have all of their divisional games. They've yet to play a divisional game, 5-1 outside of the division, and they got the Bengals and the Browns and the Steelers and all that lined up here on the docket, on the schedule. All right, let's go to the Chargers locker room. That's where the story is here. Brandon Staley, the old Ram defensive coordinator, who's now the head coach of the Crosstown Chargers. And here is the coach of the Chargers commenting on his quarterback and his lack of execution by Justin Herbert.
In a game like that, where it gets away from you a little bit, I think you can tell a lot about your quarterback. I thought he was strong with the ball. I thought he took care of it. And, you know, I thought he hung tough. We need to do a better job playing around him. Justin, I thought, hung tough and gave us a chance.
Gave you a chance. You were down 17-0. Would you stop? All right, here's more from Brandon Staley, the coach of the Chargers, and taking the temperature in the locker room as the Chargers head into a little vacation, a little week off here during the season, the bye.
I think we lost to a really good team today. I think that is a perennial division champion, a perennial playoff team. They've been to the playoffs 13 out of 14 years with John as the head coach. They've won a Super Bowl. This is a championship caliber team. They have an MVP quarterback. They outplayed us and outcoached us today. But I know that we've played 6 really good teams. We're 4-2. We've beat 4 really good teams, and we've lost to 2 really good teams. And that's what I told the team. I think that's where the truth is. And I think where we need to go is we need to learn from this game. The bye's coming at a good time for us. Get rested up and then come back and be ready to go against a really good New England team.
Yeah. Spin from the Chargers coach. Now, Justin Herbert, the quarterback of the Chargers, pointing out that the Charger offense did not look very good.
We didn't execute the way we wanted to. We didn't move the ball. We didn't convert on third down. I had that one turnover. You can't expect to turn the ball over, not move the ball like that, and expect to win.
Okay, thank you. That was right out of sportscliche.com. If you can go to sportscliche.com, I am a contributor to that. The Chargers, 208 yards of offense. 208 yards of offense against a Ravens defense, which had not been good at all against the pass. And so the Ravens, 5-1, the Chargers at 4-2. It is the Ben Maller Show. We'll take your phone calls at 877-99 on Fox, 877-996-6369. Also on Twitter, if you want to give us real-time feedback, we may read your comment on the air. Send it in. Care of the Ben Maller Show, Ben Maller on Twitter right there, Ben Maller on Twitter. Also, if you listen to the Fifth Hour podcast, the Revenge of the Nerds edition over the weekend, there's some photographs you can check out. Instagram page, Ben Maller on Fox. The Facebook show page is Ben Maller Show. Ben Maller Show. All right, so the internet will never get it wrong unless they do. So there's a, let me just give you the backstory on this. So there's a rather attractive young lady that was caught on television, and the internet said, "Who is that lady?" And they found out, and then they're like, "Whoa, wait a minute, really? What was that all about?" We'll get to that, and also the empty nest as well, and we'll do it next.
Fly, Maller, fly, on the airwaves everywhere. Fight, Roberto, fight, cook a sound bite, 1, 2, 3. Eddie Lowe, Cooper High, as we hear the militia cry. Fly, Maller, fly, bloviating and hornswoggled. M-A-L-L-E-R, Maller.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
We'll be right back.
We're a motley crew of people from across this glorious land. Like a hot Montana chick, a psychic, a urine-drinking man. What binds us all together is we'll defend Ben to the end. While Maller bloviates on.
We are always looking to proliferate the Maller Militia, help our grassroots movement, add new listeners to the Ben Maller Show, support our noble efforts by posting comments about the show on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and all other social media. You have the power to influence others to join the cult of the Ben Maller Show. And now live from the Fox Sports Radio studios, it's Ben Maller.
Well, I did hear from Skeeter in Montana, one of the people responsible for the Maller Militia oath. Skeeter kept calling up from Montana and said, hey, I want to take the oath. I want to be part of the Maller Militia. So we cooked up the Maller Militia oath, a great tribute to the military. And Skeeter says he's not on Twitter anymore, but he still listens. So he wanted us to know that he's alive and well. So I'm glad you checked in, Skeeter. Thank you for that. This guy Don's all upset. Don did not enjoy the Maller monologue about the Charger-Raven game. He says, you're a complete tool a-hole. Justin Herbert is 50 times better than your cute little Matthew Stafford. Wake the F up, idiot. He says, hey, a-hole, but the Dodgers are just fine, right? Yeah. Well, listen, Don. If you think that Matthew Stafford is not the better quarterback this season, and 5 years from now, I would agree with you that if everything goes the way it's headed, that Herbert's going to be the better quarterback. But in this moment, the moment we're in right now, the 2021 season, Matthew Stafford is absolutely 100% better than the Charger quarterback. And it's not even close. It's not even close. Matthew Stafford is the highest-ranked quarterback in the NFL. I've got the updated numbers now through six games. The only quarterback higher than him is hurt and will likely be out for at least a month and a half, Russell Wilson. But any other quarterback, you go by the actual quarterback rankings, Matthew Stafford is the highest-rated quarterback in the NFL, not named Russell Wilson, who, again, is hurt. And you go through all the key numbers, like I always bring up yards per pass, which is a very important statistic, pass thrown, yards per pass thrown. Matthew Stafford is number one, not little Kyler Murray or Lamar Jackson or Baker Mayfield or any of those guys. Matthew Stafford. So Don, I recommend going to the eye doctor and getting some glasses because I got to go to the eye doctor too.
To say it's not even close, though, is
it's not close.
Is ridiculous.
It is absolutely not close.
It's absolutely.
I know
ridiculous.
You're a Charger fanboy, Eddie.
No, I know you're a Rams fanboy, Ben.
Matthew Stafford is averaging 9.2 yards per attempt.
Yeah.
Your guy is 20th in the NFL at 7.2. He's a slightly above average.
The completion percentage is nearly identical.
He's
the yards passing are nearly identical.
No, they're
the
not.
The touchdown passes.
That up.
No, I'm not.
That up.
Stafford's got 12 touchdown passes
yards
and three interceptions. Herbert's
per
got
pass
13
attempt.
Touchdown passes and three interceptions.
Eddie, you're wrong. You're sounding like an idiot, Eddie. Stop.
No, I don't. I'm just reading
right
the numbers. It's not hard.
Matthew Stafford, I've got the updated numbers. You've got old numbers. I've got the updated numbers. My numbers are better. I've got the actual updated numbers. Matthew Stafford, number one outside of Russell Wilson, who's injured, so you take him off the board. He's averaging 9.2 yards per pass.
So do you think Russell Wilson's the best quarterback in the NFL?
No, he's hurt right now, so he's out of the
MVP race. No, but if he were playing,
race.
Do you think he's the best quarterback in the NFL?
He would, yes, he would have been the MVP, but he's out of the MVP race, Eddie. So that by default, Matthew Stafford.
So Russell Wilson,
yes.
If he wasn't hurt, would be the best quarterback in the NFL right now.
But he's hurt right now, so he's out.
But
he's
he would be if he wasn't hurt, right?
So he's out.
Okay.
Matthew Stafford completing 69.5% of his passes, right? 69.5. Your guy is down 17th in completion percentage there. Jimmy Garoppolo has completed a higher percentage of passes than Justin Herbert, so just stop. Stafford.
Well, that goes to show how ridiculous that stat is then.
It shows you how great Matthew Stafford is and how, I know, Eddie, you don't watch the Rams. You're a Charger fan. Used to be a Steeler fan, so you don't watch them anymore, I guess. But Matthew Stafford is the MVP in the NFL. And that's driving all these people insane. Remember that nice woman from New Jersey that was trying to pump up Jalen Hurts and talk about how great Jalen Hurts was? What happened?
I love how you talk about fanboys, and you're like the biggest fanboy there is.
I'm giving accurate information, Eddie.
You're just licking the toes and taking a bubble bath with Matthew Stafford.
Well, look, I could not do it if he didn't have the numbers to back it up. Just because I had, as a distant relative of Nostradamus and friend of Nostradamus,
who was a complete quack.
I was able to point out, Eddie, before the season, all you guys goofed on me and said this wouldn't work out. It's working out pretty good. Working, you got the top quarterback in football, Matthew Stafford, through the first 6 weeks of the season. Again, I give you all the numbers, Eddie. You can choose to ignore them, and you can put – you're the ostrich. Eddie's the ostrich. He's putting his head in the ground. He's ignoring
the
truth.
You said Russell – according to the numbers, Russell Wilson is the number one quarterback in the NFL.
But he's out. He's disqualified, Eddie, because he's hurt. That's what I'm saying.
But,
I agree.
But the numbers
but
clearly are lying because I like
the
Russell Wilson.
The numbers aren't lying.
He's not the number one quarterback
the numbers are not lying. Matthew Stafford even took a game off, and he's still the top quarterback. He didn't even show up to the Arizona game, and he's still the top quarterback in the NFL. It's amazing how
Ben
good
Maller,
this guy's been.
Ram ultimate fanboy.
Okay, yeah. Says the guy that's on every CBS broadcast in LA of a Charger game with his Thunder sticks.
I'm Matthew Stafford. Ben, pass the soap. Let's take a bubble bath together.
Hey, okay. if we're being completely honest, if the voting for MVP were to take place right now, Kyler Murray would win.
No, my God, don't say that. Don't, Coop. Don't say that. You sound like a moron, Coop. Don't say that, Coop. He's not the MVP.
They are undefeated.
It doesn't matter. It's not that simple, stupid. You don't just by default, whoever's the MVP. The Cardinals, Kyler Murray's had some terrible games this year. Some horrible games.
You want to tell me that the MVP voters don't take the team's record into account?
Coop. Kyler Murray, how many touchdown passes did he have against Jacksonville?
Of course he didn't.
How many touchdown passes did he have against Jacksonville? He didn't throw any. He
doesn't.
How can you be the MVP when you don't throw a touchdown against Jacksonville? How many touchdowns did he have against a bad Niner team? One. That's not an MVP.
How can you be the MVP when you lose to the other team?
Oh my God, that is not an MVP.
How can Matthew Stafford be the MVP when he lost to the Cardinals?
Again. You cannot. There's no justification.
How can Matthew Stafford be the MVP when he lost to the Cardinals?
He felt bad for that short guy on the other team.
Well, it
he
doesn't matter. The voters don't care if
it
he felt
matter.
Bad for the other guy.
No, listen. You don't know football. to not have a touchdown against Jacksonville, that eliminates you from the MVP race. Do you understand? He had no touchdowns and one interception against Jacksonville. That's like a peewee football team.
Ben, you left your loofah in Matthew Stafford's bathtub.
Because he's a peewee level quarterback. Listen, again, giving you factual information here. And you guys, you know, Coop likes a little quarterback. I get it. I understand. Eddie, you like the Chargers because, you know, you're season ticket holder. I understand the whole thing. I get it. But you guys are both wrong. Matthew Stafford, right now, MVP. And you know who called it?
Me
and Justin in Cincinnati, who has he sent me the ticket. He bet on Matthew Stafford being the MVP. He trusted my analysis, and it's looking pretty good right now. Looking pretty good. All right, let's take some phone calls. I don't think we've done that yet, and this is plausibly a call-in show. Although, the only people that complain that we don't take calls are like the seven people that call the show every day. They're the ones that complain. Nobody else seems to complain, so... Go figure. By the way, Ed, before we take a call, Eddie, my guy Jerry, Sports with Coleman in Baltimore there, he says he would like your perspective here, Eddie, on what you say about the Lightning Bolt shut out in the second half. They had 6 points in the game. Go ahead, Eddie. Defend your team.
Yeah, they play like crap.
Oh. All right. Let's go to the phones now. One of the great cockroaches of our time. This guy, total fraud. He's called up talking all this trash to the Giants. We're going to beat the Dodgers, and of course the Giants, the frauds they are, they lose to the Dodgers, and so now they go back and start their vacation. And, you know, we did an entire show, 4 hours of live radio right after that game, not a single phone call from the worst bus driver in North America. But he's here now. Lance, the bus driver, is here. I guess he needed the weekend to kind of figure out what he was going to say. Hello, Lance, the bus driver.
Hello, Ben. Just so you know, I called Thursday night, about 50 times, and I couldn't get through.
I think I got through at
1:30,
sure.
But I passed out on the phone call. You turd.
I'm sure.
But listen,
I'm sure you did. I'm sure. Tell it to the judge, Lance. Nobody believes you.
Ben,
no one believes you,
Ben,
Lance.
Ben, I just got back. I've been out of town right now. Has the series started yet with the Atlanta Braves yet?
Yes, actually, and it's amazing. The Giants aren't in that series. It's shocking that the Giants. I thought maybe they'd be. I mean, they had the best record in baseball, the Giants. I thought for that if you win the most games in the regular season, that you would be there. But the Giants are not there. What's that?
Is the series tied right now? Are you guys down 2-0, you fat bum? How much you paying that center fielder to have a ball go over his head? What, $45 million a year, that dwarf? And then you got the second baseman, a shortstop, can't even catch a ball going to him, bouncing. Yeah.
But
right
you know what? You know what all
he's
those guys have
player.
In common, though? All those guys, Lance, they're not cowards like you that didn't call the radio show after talking about that trash. You're the biggest fraud.
On
you
my
are,
life,
you
I
are
called.
Absolute. You're a liar. You didn't call the show. You're a fraud.
Oh,
and you've lost
I
all credibility on this show, Lance.
Meathead.
You talk all that crap, and you don't call up when your team chokes, and the Giants choked. Check swing, strike three, game over, series over, Giants lose. Giants lose. I love it. Good umpiring, by the way. Good umpiring.
Listen, diaper boy, I called at least 30 times, and I swear on my life on that.
You are. You did not
take the medicine
at all.
To take the crow, I was guessing
Coop,
I did
Coop,
call.
Did he call Coop during 35 times during the show, Coop? Did he call up?
Well, he said he couldn't get through, so how would I know if he called or not?
Yeah,
he didn't call up.
Yeah,
if you don't get through,
It was busy.
It's amazing. You always seem to find a way to get through, Lance. You know, I wish you wouldn't. But all this night, different than all other nights, you couldn't get in. Yeah,
hey, right. Hey, calm down. You have a stroke over there. Calm down, fat boy. Just calm down.
Go eat another donut, Lance. Go. You know what, Lance? Why you got to go to the Bahamas or maybe where do the Giants go on vacation? They go to the Bahamas, Hawaii.
Hey,
where do the San Francisco Giants go on vacation?
Johnny
because I know they're not going to play the Atlanta Braves and the Dodgers are down 2-0, but they have a much better chance of beating the Atlanta Braves in the National Championship Series than the Giants do because the Giants didn't qualify to make the NLCS. They're not even in the League Championship Series.
Scherzer can't close every game. And I love how you see your turn on your friend Eddie Garcia there because the guy's liking the L.A. Chargers. And you, front-runner Ram fan now.
I remember
you're on the tails of the Patriots.
Ram supporter for years, yes.
You front-runner. I didn't remember you.
How the Niners doing, by the way, Lance?
Hey, don't be there, the Disneyland Rams. I remember when they were Disneyland Rams, you had nothing to do with them. But now you're like, oh, he's the best ever. Well, you know why? Because they're letting me in through the garage door to get in the game for you, little animal.
Well,
of course,
I've been to, two Rams games over the last couple of years.
You're sitting in the blood nose seats, of course, eating your 15 hot dogs. But listen, still, don't try and dog your buddy Eddie there because he's – actually
now you're defending Eddie?
Fan.
Now you've pivoted to defend Eddie right
people,
now.
Mauer. People, you little rooster.
Yeah. Just because Eddie's wrong about Matthew Stafford, I had to set him straight. That's all. All right, I got to go. Thank you, Lance. I'm sure you called 30 times unless you didn't call one time. And you're just using the convenient. The Lions were full excuse, which is the same as the dog ate my homework when you were in elementary school. Use that same excuse.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm told the NBA season is coming up on Tuesday.
Yeah.
The season is starting up.
Oh, it's so exciting, Eddie. There's nothing more important than regular season NBA games. These guys take it so seriously, Eddie. They really do.
Yeah. Ben Simmons is now back practicing with the Philadelphia 76ers.
So
his status for the season opener, which is Wednesday for Philadelphia, not known. But, of course, the guy who said we want to be traded was never going to return to Philadelphia. He's now back with the team, and he's practicing, and he may play coming up here.
I saw Doc Rivers say he's not in shape. He's not in game shape. So.
No, really, what's he been doing?
Hanging out in Malibu, I think, right? Wasn't he out in L.A.? Wasn't that what he was up to?
I don't know.
That's what I hear. A lot of those guys hang out in L.A., and God only knows what kind of debauchery they get into there. So go back to that Charger-Ravens game, the crowd going wild, Chargers and Ravens, and there was an attractive young lady that was at the game, decked out in a Charger paraphernalia at M&T Bank Stadium, And she was wearing a Justin Herbert T-shirt, and she had like workout pants on, the nice showing her curvaceous backside. And a number of people trying to figure out who this person is. Who is this random woman? Why is she here? And not your normal looking fan. So there was an internet investigation trying to find out who it was. It turns out the woman was not the girl next door, unless you live next door to a porn star. That's right. The woman wearing the Justin Herbert jersey was a legendary adult star. Let's see now. Roberto, are you up on your porn stars, Roberto? Do you know the porn stars? I'm going to ask you. Eddie,
too bad Whoopi Pie Blair isn't here to help us out.
I know.
That's a good point. The name is Miss Maya G. You ever heard of her?
I think I have heard of her.
Have you heard of her work?
Yeah.
She's got a large caboose, it would appear there. And, she's, I guess, a Charger fan. Does this bother you, Eddie? You're now going to take a backseat.
Why would it bother me? I don't
care.
Well,
you're a celebrity Charger fan, and she's upstaging you.
Good for her.
Yeah. But she did put a video out just to confirm that it was her, that she did show up to the game there to support Justin Herbert. So, there you go. And a big fan of the Chargers. That's kind of random. How many porn stars do you think like the Chargers? Do you think they're very popular in the porn community? I don't know. I thought the Rams would be more popular, but
you know, maybe Vegas.
Vegas, yeah. Yeah, a lot of the porn movies, they shifted to Vegas because California's got a lot of weird rules, so I hear. But we used to be very popular. We had a lot of people on this show, I know, back in the day that were in that industry that would listen to the show. So anyway, let's go to the phones real quick. Let's say hello. Eeny, meeny, miny, moe. Cowboy Dan is up next. Hello, Cowboy Dan.
Hey, how about those Cowboys, Ben?
Hi, yes.
Eddie. How are you doing? Hey, you know, last week someone was questioning about my credentials as a Cowboy fan because I don't live in Dallas. I actually live in Beaverton, Oregon. But I remember the Ice Bowl. Remember the Ice Bowl in 1967? I was 12 years old. That's the first Cowboy game I remember. Unfortunately, we lost to the Green Bay Packers, and it was 13 degrees in Lambeau Field. But let's go to the present. How about those Cowboys?
Yeah, very impressive to beat a team with a losing record and a rookie quarterback and have to go to overtime to do it.
Well, we made things interesting.
That's one way to look at it.
For a national TV audience.
Now, Dak Prescott was limping off the field. Your level of concern, Cowboy Dan, the great Cowboy Homer, how concerned are you?
I'm a 2 at that. It's a cramp in his hamstring. That's all it is.
Well, a cramp leads to a pulled muscle. You know how that works. And a pulled muscle could lead to a torn muscle, and then that ends up on the injured list.
Well, what's your concern level, Ben?
Well, I'm not a Cowboy fan, so I have no level of concern.
Okay. Well, he's had 445 yards and 3 TDs. He's got a week off next week, and then he goes into Minnesota, and they'll have no problem with Minnesota because you know why? Zeke will have a big game. He's due for a big game.
Well, you don't know that. And the team's coming off a bye, enjoy themselves a little too much. They're not ready to play when they come back from the bye, and then they lose, and then things start snowballing. I'd be very concerned about the Cowboys if I were you, Cowboy Dan.
They're on a roll, 5 games straight. And, you know, they have an easy schedule. The only problem in their schedule is next year, on January 2nd, they have to play the Cardinals. But I think we'll win that game. It's in Dallas.
Of course, you're Cowboy Dan. You think they're going to win every game. All right, I got to go, Cowboy Dan. Thank you. Enough Cowboy propaganda. Appreciate it. We got to move on. All right, we have Maller to the third degree. That's right around the corner. Here's the Insta trivia. So with Rich Bisaccia taking over in Vegas, Derek Carr has now played for 5 head coaches during his time with the Raiders. So Carr playing for 5 head coaches. Blank is the quarterback that holds the record, having played for 7 different coaches. Again, this is since the merger. Rich Bisaccia had taken over in Vegas. Derek Carr has now played for 5 head coaches during his time with the Raiders. Blank is the quarterback that holds the record for having played for 7 different coaches. That's the Insta trivia. The answer next.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Most are unable to lend an ear to the Ben Maller Show all night long, but with podcasting, you can get caught up on unique show moments that you might have missed. The Ben Maller Show podcast is available on iHeart and wherever you get your podcasts. It's a piece of cake and upsets the corporate guys. And now live in the Fox Sports Radio studios, it's Ben Maller.
And here's the instant trivia with Rich Bisaccia taking over as coach in Vegas. Derek Carr has now played for 5 head coaches during his time with the Raiders. Blank is the quarterback who holds the record, having played for 7 different coaches. Luke, the vending guy, gives us Carrot Top as his answer. David in Seattle, who knows where all the good restaurants are, going with old Steeler quarterback Dick Shiner as his answer. Queen La Quifa from Maller Militia, Twitter King. Mike Shanahan from Mr. Nice Guy. Who else do we have? Todd Bowman from Chris in Des Moines. Gary Danielson tossed out by Paulie D. Matt, the Warrior Raider A's fan, is going with Jim Hart as the answer. Do you have an answer, Eddie, please? It's not Johnny Utah.
I don't know. Andy Dalton.
Andy Dalton. All right. That is incorrect. The correct answer from the New Orleans Saints, it is Archie Manning, who played for 7 different head coaches. Archie Arch back in the day. How did that go? That was...
It's Maller.
How about that?
To the third degree. This is when Big Ben gets grilled.
Koopaloop.
So Alex Rodriguez took a shot at analytics people on Twitter Saturday, saying, "For all the analytics people that work in MLB, please stop saying that there's no such thing as hot or cold. Kike is hot, just like a Rosarina last year." Now, Ben, you're normally against the analytics people.
Yes, I am. Yes.
But you also don't believe in momentum.
That's right.
Isn't being hot essentially the same thing?
I push back against every narrative out there, Koopaloop. But A-Rod's a dope. Momentum and hot are the same thing. You're correct. And these are narrative fallacies in sports. They are myths. They do not exist. Kike Hernandez playing very well for the Red Sox. Good for him. He's had a lot of positive energy, but that doesn't guarantee success. It doesn't guarantee failure if you've sucked for a long time. It's like buying a stock, right? A stock that has gone up in value and a company that is performing well. That doesn't guarantee, as they say on Wall Street, doesn't guarantee anything. Past results do not guarantee future outcomes. Either way, each at bat is its own entity. Next!
So after the Dodgers eliminated the Giants, Mookie Betts was asked if the Dodgers-Giants rivalry is on par with the Red Sox-Yankees rivalry. He was hesitant to answer, kind of, you know, hemming and hawing, and Max Scherzer kind of pressured him to say what he was thinking, which is no. Ben, do you agree, or are they not up to par with that rivalry?
Well, number one, Mookie Betts has a 12-year contract. He doesn't have to be diplomatic about anything, right? Mookie, one of the reasons he is out of Boston, he didn't want to play there anymore. If he wanted to play with the Red Sox, he'd still be with the Red Sox. He didn't want to be part of that East Coast baseball thing. And he's with the Dodgers longer than anyone else is going to be on the Dodgers. Say, listen, the Dodger-Giant rivalry, there's about 1% of the fan base where they'll fight to the death in the parking lot. The rest of it, you know, it's mostly laid back. Overall, Mookie, I think you got it right, right? East Coast people are just different than West Coast people, and you can blame it on the weather or whatever you want to blame it on, but it is different. It is, you know, it's a rivalry. They don't like each other, but it's not to the same degree. Next!
There was a report over the weekend that the Yankees plan to go hard after Corey Seager in the offseason.
Good.
Ben, do you think Seager will be a Yankee next year?
Well, if he keeps making plays like he did, where the ball bounced off his glove to cost the Dodgers a playoff game, let him go play in the Bronx. The Yankees need help. They got to sign somebody. They haven't made the World Series and won the World Series in a very long time by Yankee standards. And if they're going to get past Tampa and Boston in the American League East, they got to spend some money. They can't sign Carlos Correa because he's a cheating Astro. So it's either Corey Seager or Trevor Story, one of those two guys. And Seager, he's not a vocal guy. He wouldn't play well in the tabloids in New York. And he can bounce around a few different positions if they want to do that. And I'm fine with him leaving. He's been a good player for the Dodgers. It certainly helped them win the World Series last year. But it's not going to break my heart if Corey Seager goes and plays for the Yankees. There it is, Coop. How did we do?
Pass this edition.
That's a winner!